Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm fine. Don't forget, this is Memorial Day weekend.
I didn't forget. I started to take vacation on Friday, and I thought, well, maybe I can be like everybody else and sneak a little bit on Thursday.
Oh, my gosh, you're getting it earlier every year.
Well, it sounds like it works for everybody else, so I thought I'll give it a try, and it worked.
Yeah, and everybody pretends like they're just out for the morning or the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we know they're not coming back, by the way.
No, they're not coming back. They're off. They're gone. They won't be back till Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
As long as they can take. And you know, they're in the car, they're motoring somewhere. They're either going to the lake or some other divine place. You know?
A divine place.
Well, like Wolf Lodge over here in Grapevine. You know, they have the water park, they have the big hotel. It's continuous entertainment for children.
Oh,
and a lot of people go there, and it is so hard to get in. It's ridiculous.
Is it really? Because there's so many
people? Oh, my gosh. Yes. I know last year we tried and tried to get in. I don't think the family got in until September.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Yeah, it was impossible during the summer. And they have a fabulous place over there. And people come from hundreds of miles away. And it's just really hard to get in. And they have all kinds of things for kids. I mean, you can sign up for anything. The tickets are $70 a person.
Wow.
Just for entertainment.
My word. It sounds a bit pricey, but it sounds like there's
a lot. It is really pricey.
Yeah.
But a lot of people from Midland and Odessa, a lot of places, come to it because it is so fabulous.
Yeah. It looks like it's, I've never been there, but it looks from everything that I've seen, it looks like it's just this gigantic, huge, almost like a little indoor water village is what it looks like.
That's what it is.
Oh, wow.
It's an indoor water village. And then they have all the things you can buy, souvenirs.
Oh, I'm sure there's tons of little trinkets to buy.
And then they've got several restaurants, and some are kid-themed where the kids can really enjoy it.
Oh, really? I didn't realize. I don't know why, but I didn't realize there was like restaurants and things like that there.
Oh, my gosh. It's a huge hotel.
Oh, wow.
It's probably 10 or 15 stories.
Oh, see, as massive as I thought it was, I didn't even scratch the surface. I didn't know it was
that big. You weren't even thinking of it. Wow. It's a real hotel, but it's a water park.
Wow.
Yes. No. All kinds of slides with water, everything.
I can see now why they're booked up for months.
That's why, because once the kids have been there, they want to go back again.
Yeah.
And then the new people coming on, they can't get in because the people that already know about it are already there.
Wow. It sounds like you probably can go for vacation and not even leave the complex. It's all right there.
That's exactly right. It's all right there. And people go for weekends. Oh, and the rooms are themed.
Really?
Oh, yeah, different kinds of room for kids.
How neat.
Yeah, you can book one of the different ones.
Wow.
And the beds and everything are made like whatever the theme is.
It almost sounds like a I don't even know what I'm trying to compare it to something, but it just sounds like it's, I mean, I can picture a regular hotel room, but then when they're themed, I just picture like beds like in the shape of like water things and like decor on the wall with like water and whatever.
That sounds cool. And the beds, as I said, I've got all the different kinds of themes and little kids love it.
Neat. Wow. Well, whoever came up with that is a genius.
And then they've got swimming pools.
Yes.
In addition to everything else.
So they got pools and then water slides. And then is there more than just that? Or is that like?
Yes, there's water games.
Oh,
I mean, there's all kinds of things. I think there's three or four things you can do. Big things, you know, not little bitty deals, but really nice things.
Wow. Well, no wonder. Now I get it. I see why everybody talks about it, and now they all want to go to Great Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah. All right. Well, now I see. Now I know what I've been missing. So I may have to plan a weekend fun trip. Can adults go, or is it just for kids?
Yeah. No, adults can go. In fact, you have to have an adult with those kids.
Oh, nice.
You can't just let them alone. Mm. Right. They want them supervised, yeah. Where they won't be rowdy and unrowdy.
We don't need a whole theme park full of unruly children.
That's right. And a lot of them have them because the parents don't pay attention to their children.
Yeah. I bet that gets out of hand in a hurry.
Woo. I think so. But, you know, it's a nice complex, you know, right there in Grapevine. Grapevine's got so many great things anyway.
Oh, and yeah. And it's just expanded.
And, you know, they've got the ice park. You know, they've got a lot of things going over there.
Yeah, they really do.
But none of it is cheap, let me mention that.
Oh, no. You pay for the fun. That's
You're
for sure.
Paying for the fun.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And this is Your Money with Faye Bagby.
Right.
See, how about that?
Wow, a little extra thing in there. And you are Faye Bagby. I remember that.
That's
from
right.
Last week.
You do remember. That's who I am.
Yeah.
It's not a ghost or anything.
Oh, no, no. You're the actual real person in the flesh. I do
in
remember something else we talked about last week was, I think we were talking about a gigantically huge policy that, I'm trying to get this right now, that was going to start to be filled. You do have
and
it.
And we have started. We have started filling it. It's 43% profit, folks.
Yeah.
43%. It's a 20-month policy. You know, that's about 1.7 years. And the guy has rectal cancer. Mm. And he got it in 22. And they're giving him 17 months. And with rectal cancer, I don't know if it'll go that long. Sometimes I can tell you it absolutely will. It might go over. But rectal cancer is a serious dadgum kind of cancer.
Yeah, it is. It's probably one of those that maybe is not necessarily on people's radar. But it's,
you know, that's
dangerous.
What Farrah Fawcett died of.
That's right. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yes.
Yeah. I never forgot it because I was so shocked when she got it. Then they said, you know, they didn't think she'd make it, and of course she didn't.
Yeah, and it almost seems like it was really fast, too.
Yeah, I think it's just so hard to treat. It's not like other cancers. I think it's really hard to treat.
Wow.
And maybe they don't discover it in time, you know, like early on.
Yeah. That could be too. I didn't even think about that. It all kind of depends on when it's discovered. But
that's
even
right.
When they find it early, it's not always easy.
And of course, this guy, you know, in 22, after they got it, they started switching cancer drugs and switching them. At one point, they had to stop.
Oh.
So a lot of things happened to him after he got it, you know, which made it worse.
Oh, wow.
And it started out at stage 3.
Hmm. And it just progressed.
In 425, it showed a progressive disease.
Oh, wow.
And he had in the lungs also. Hmm. So it is a multifactorial metastatic disease.
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's going to, what is it, 1.7 years, you said?
Right, 1.7.
Wow. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it goes that long, too, just based on what you're saying here.
And at one point, they had to decrease the medicine because he was so fatigued, you know. Mm. And he kept trying the treatment. But they were showing, you know, what it was doing. And without the treatment, you know, we know he isn't going to make it. But they've had to stop it a couple of times because he is so bad.
Wow. And every time they stop it, it just lets things progress even more.
That's right. And that's what they said. He developed two new lung lesions over it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boy.
And they did a lung resection.
Really?
Yeah, and that hadn't helped.
Jeez. It just sounds like they're hitting this with everything they've got, and nothing is working at all.
Yeah, and they kept switching the medication, and I can't see that that's helping.
Wow. So this is clearly probably I'm almost a little bit surprised that it's not already full, but you know, probably having this information that you're saying today probably is going to get some more people interested.
I hope
Or
it gets everybody off dead center and gets on the policy. I
yeah.
think it's really a good one because it is rectal cancer. If it was another kind, I would say it might go over, but I certainly don't think it'll go over, and it might come in early because it is rectal cancer.
Yeah. And what did they classify it on 425? It was
It wasn't stage four yet. It was stage three.
And
But
then
see, he's got it in two places.
yeah.
We've got lung cancer, and then we've got rectal cancer. So you know it's moved around.
Yeah. And anytime you see that kind of movement, I mean, it's not like it just goes in one place and then goes into another. There's a lot of room that has to travel, which leaves a lot of room for, you know, progression, I guess.
It is progressing, and they keep saying stable but progression. And so they're saying it's not just leaping, you know.
Yeah. This may be a fast one. So, what is does this one? Because I know sometimes we go like we will refer to like the Denton policy or the, you know, whoever policy. Is this a is there a name that we should call this?
His name is, well, it's the Dietrich policy.
Dietrich, okay.
And it says he was having trouble coping with the indefinite nature of chemotherapy.
Really? What?
Yeah.
I'm not.
So in the right lung, nodule was increasing, and they were worried about that, but they wanted him to stay the course due to persistence of it.
Wow.
And he had to stop one in 325. He had to stop that one. And then they would see how much a single agent could buy him. And the scan of the chest in 25 showed progression of the disease in the lungs as well as the other part.
Wow. And this is, isn't this, this is like a, is it a $4 million policy?
It is. It's a $4 million policy. And we've got a lot of people in it, but we don't have enough to fill it yet. And so I want to recommend everybody read it, get on it. 1.7 months is not very much.
No, it's not. And with that kind of profit, there's probably going to be a lot of people getting paid probably pretty quick, and with a ton of cash in their pocket too. So.
That's right. I have one guy that's put 175,000 in it.
Wow.
So the people that are in it really believe in it. We just need to see if we can get the rest of them in it. You know, they've all had, well, we've had over $5 million come in.
Oh, wow. Yeah, from
Yes.
other policies that have matured.
That's right. We had four policies come in, and a couple of them came in early. Only one came in late out of all four.
So people
And
have the
five million
cash.
dollars. Yeah, they've got the cash. It's a matter of making up their mind. Do I want to go in this policy or am I going to sit on the sidelines?
Yeah. Yeah, and if anybody has been sitting on the sidelines for a while, this would be a good time to get back in. It just seems like is I'm kind of surprised there's even still some availability, but I know we didn't talk about the details last week, and so having some of this information, I'm sure probably is going to make some people probably be calling you Monday or I guess Tuesday after the holiday. So, yeah, people should pay attention to this one. The Dietrich
Yeah, I'd
policy.
like to see them get in it. And I think when they make that 43%, they're going to be extremely glad they did it.
Yeah.
How can he turn down 43%?
I don't know.
I couldn't.
you don't have very many 43% that come in very often on, and especially on a what's expected to be a short policy, and for $4 million in the pot. So you know, I mean, your share of $4 million at 43%. It just, I don't know. It's just the numbers more than add up. If all policies were like this, you'd never have to do anything another day in your life, I'm sure.
That's right. But we don't ever have anyone that pays this well.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I really want people to get in it. We know it'll pay. It'll pay if he comes in early, if it's on time, or if it's a little bit late. I don't really think this one's going to be late. Not with lung cancer and this type of cancer.
Yeah, yeah. With things progressing like they are, it's...
Yeah, rectal cancer is a lot more serious.
Yeah, even by itself it would be serious, but the fact that it's, you know, now popping up in other ways, yeah, this is one
of those... Yeah, it leads us to believe it'll work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like on time, I think it will.
Yeah, the numbers add up on this one. It's pretty simple math, so... Yeah, if people have already maybe ignored their email, they should go back and look. Any new investors, I would assume if somebody's never done a life settlement before and they say, this is really intriguing to me, this might be a really great first policy for a new investor, they would be able to get in on this, correct? I mean, there's like enough time and all that to get them set up, or is it too close?
No, I think if they get it like on Tuesday and they can write a check, or if it's an easy transfer, we could have it done by Thursday.
Oh, wow, that is fast. Okay.
It would be.
So, yeah. So if anybody's a new investor, just call you up and ask about the Dietrich policy, and you'll take it from there, and you'll know exactly which one they're talking about.
That's right. And they can make up their mind how much they'd like to put in, what they want to make.
Is there a minimum or a maximum for this policy for?
I think there would be a minimum of $25,000.
Okay. All right. But you have a lot of people, at least one, maybe more, that have put in $175,000 just because of the profit.
Yes. And a lot of people have an awful lot of money they're sitting on, and they want to make quite a bit of money on this one.
What if somebody's already in and they wanted to put in more? Is there a top limit, a cap?
Yeah, I would think we'd have to cap it. Mm, okay. I don't think we'd want to put too much.
I didn't know how it works. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm sitting here doing the math, and I'm thinking, wow, you make 43% with $175,000 in. Well, what happened if you put in $200,000 or $225,000?
Well, they can put in more because... A lot of them might not have the 50 or 75,000 in.
Ah.
So certainly they could put more in.
Okay. All right. I'm sitting here running the math in my brain, and I'm thinking, wow, you put more in, you get more out.
That's right. That makes sense. By a long shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. All right. Well, great. That's some fantastic news. And I know you've been waiting for things like this for quite a while. And then this one came on board, and you were looking at bidding on it, and then you got it, and then now you're filling it. And is there a I don't know how to ask this. Is there a deadline where?
Yes, I think the 15th is the deadline.
Okay. 15th of June, right?
That's right. Okay. Everything has to be to the guy and paying by then.
Okay.
So it'd really be about the 13th because we have to have it there by the 15th.
Okay. But people should also keep in mind that now that you've kind of given a bunch of details this week, there may be some a flood of interest, and so people may not want to wait very long to get in on this one. So,
no, because usually they just call or send an email and say, put me down.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if they already have an account, it's like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, easy breezy.
Yes.
Simple and quick. Nice. Okay. All right. I hate to ask, but because I might not know, this is like front and center. This is like the biggest news you've had in months. And so I don't want to move away from it. But is there anything else that we need to know or any other?
No, I would think not. It's low premium, a quick policy, good return. I don't know what more you could ask for.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds like a perfect dream kind of policy. So, all right. Well, great. For those who maybe haven't invested in a while, maybe they've been sitting on the sidelines. Aside from the profit on this, what would you say to somebody like that in that position who hasn't invested in a while, why this might be a good chance to jump back in? Is it
Because it's going to pay enough that I think it'll help them otherwise. Because they've been sitting there waiting for something good. They need the profit, and this will bring that profit back up.
I know when investors, start doing life settlements, and you always talk about, 18, 24 months. Sometimes you did say sometimes you go up to 30, right?
Right.
Okay. And so, they know that those kinds of profit margins are there on, I don't want to say a daily basis, but on a regular basis. And so when you have something with a profit margin of 43%, it's just, I mean, these opportunities don't come around very often. And so when they do, it's important to seize on them before they go away, I guess. So this is
That's
special.
exactly right. It is special because we haven't had one that good in a long time. And I think people that have been on the sideline, this will help them. I think they'll be glad they did it.
Yeah, I know.
And like all my doctors, I have a lot of doctors that are with us, and they know good things. I don't know if we've sent it to them yet, but I can always tell you which ones are the best, because the doctors seem like they go in a lot of them.
I guess that it's almost like there's two ways to look at that. You don't have to be a doctor to understand a life
No,
settlement.
it's easy.
So, if anybody has never done this before, or maybe they're new to life settlements, you don't have to speak doctor speak to understand it. It's all there in plain English, and it's really easy to understand. But on the other side, it kind of, I guess, reinforces the fact that, when doctors who are trained, they know what they're doing, they know what they're looking at, they have the knowledge, they have the experience, and they see the opportunity, and they invest over and over and over and over again. One, they know what they're doing, they know what they're talking about, they see it as a good opportunity, and then the fact that they keep doing it just also, I would think, reinforces the fact that life settlements are such a good conservative type of investment.
That's right. They are conservative. Your money's always safe. Remember, we don't touch the money. The money goes to Nevada Trust. They handle your money for you. They do the payout. We don't do the payout. We don't ever see those checks. The checks go to Nevada Trust. They put it in everybody's account, and then we notify them the money's there. So we have someone else touch your money instead of us.
Yeah, it's important
It's
to
not
know
like a brokerage house. They have
that.
complete control of that cash.
They do.
We do not. We don't touch it.
You start saying brokerage house, and I start thinking, oh, wow, they can do anything they want to, whenever they want to. It's not like that. It's all well documented, and it's all well strategized, and it's all well laid out. So at every step, when the policy matures, they know exactly who gets what account it goes in, and they basically just—I don't mean literally, but they push a button, and boom, the money is in the right people's accounts right
And they
away.
notify us immediately that it'll be in their bank account like on Monday. And so we notify everybody, look in your bank account, it'll be there on Monday morning. So we always tell them. And we know we have a company that handles getting the death certificates. And they let us know as soon as they've got it. And that we pay for all that. And we're glad to do it because we want to know where the money is at all times.
Yeah, I mean, being able to track where things are at every step of the process, that's really important. It's not just leaving things up to willy-nilly, guessing and hoping and, well, maybe, and if something works. No, I mean, we're talking about people's money. We're talking about large amounts of money. You don't want to leave that to chance to just,
No, because we have 20 million on deposit with them.
Oh, wow.
20 million.
Yeah.
Now, if all those people would put in $5, they'd probably have enough to cover this policy. I mean, you know, jokingly, of course.
Yeah.
But they do have a lot of money. And a lot of them are not investing. They're just sitting there drawing 4% because they pay 4%. And sometimes it drops a little below 4%. But usually it's 4% all year. And what bank is going to give you 4% just for leaving your money there?
Yeah, I can't think of any. None.
No, because they don't pay good on a money market account even.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, that's the thing that's so fascinating is that if you were to put your money in just a bank, if you're not going to do anything with it, if you're just going to let it sit someplace, you could, one, put it in a regular bank and just watch it sit there and do nothing. You know, go Nevada Trust, you're at least making 4%, but you could go even further and actually use that money to make money, and you're still not doing anything. You're still just, it's still sitting there, except it'd be sitting in a life settlement and growing and making money. And it's just, you know, I guess sometimes I get confused as to why, if you don't want to do anything with your money, why wouldn't you let the money do something for you? I mean, it's...
That's right. And we've got a couple of policies that are not good that we've waited a long time for. But other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And those old policies, I mean, those are how do I say this? Those are not policies that...
We would recommend now.
Yeah. Okay, let's go with that then. They're off the books these days. So if something like that comes across your table, you're going to know. And you're not going to bid on them. And you know that. And everybody else knows that.
We would never bid them again.
No.
But remember, when we started out that first month, we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
These experts were coming to us, and they weren't right. And they said, all these are going to mature immediately. But we certainly believe that.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen that way.
Mm-mm.
And we didn't investigate some of the things that we should have. And if it was to do over, we certainly would.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was what? Over a decade ago. So
that's right. A long time ago.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot. Our policies are coming due better. We're getting paid better. So... We've learned what we should have learned.
Yeah, exactly. Not only do you have more experience, but you have more knowledge, more data, more...
A lot of data.
Yeah. So.
And we're using different companies. We learned that some of them didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, and they're out. And that's
important. They're out.
You know, so, I mean, the whole process of life settlements, it seems like just top to bottom. It's just gotten so much exponentially better over the years. It's just, it's almost like, I would almost say for people who have actually done a life settlement and been in them for a while, it's a no-brainer. For somebody maybe who never has, it might be a little bit, I don't know, maybe it's intimidating, or maybe it's, I don't know what the right word would be, but I don't know. It's, I guess the proof is in the pudding. When people keep investing over and over and over, and they stick with it, and they've made the amount of money that they have, it just seems like, you know, maybe it almost like it takes one to know one. I don't know what the expression would be, but experience and patterns and the numbers and the data says it all. So, okay, so not only for conservative investments do we have life settlements as an option, but you also have annuities. We should probably touch on those real quick.
That's right. Annuities have really been a wonderful thing over the years. They've gotten better and better. Annuities have never gotten worse. And it depends which company you go with. If you go with the right company, you're going to be happy the rest of your life. If you go with one that even after it runs out, they hold the money and make you do a payout, you're not going to be happy. Because they say on those certain ones, if you liquidate at the end, they're not going to give you all your profit. So always make sure you're with a company that at the end says, yes, you can take every dime immediately, and there's no fees, no penalties.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We specialize in annuity companies that at the end of the trail, you've got all your profit right there, and you can write a check to you. They can write a check, like on Monday morning.
Yeah, and that's I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, there are other investment opportunities that kind of hide those types of things that you were talking about. Like when you talk about like gold, you know, you're not going to get the whole full profit and it may take a while to get your payout. And it
may take 60 days.
Yeah. I mean,
I know somebody did. And I was shocked. I didn't know all that about it. Yeah. I didn't know that there was these fees at the end that will take part of your profit out. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't.
And I thought you paid up front a small fee. And that was it. I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't even know that I would even think to ask something like that. I would just, I guess.
A lot of people don't. And they find out at the end, how long is it going to take? Well, 60 days. And where's my money? Well, you're not going to get quite all of it because you're going to have to pay a big fee.
Yeah. Yeah. And annuities, nice and straightforward, all regulated. It's all right there. You know, you know exactly. You can almost put it on a calendar for on this date, I can take this much. Now, what you do, you know, you have some options. I mean, some people that are really experienced or not even experienced because it doesn't take up rocket science to figure it out. But those that take like 3 or 4% are going to make that last longer, whereas somebody who takes like, say, 10%. The annuity probably won't grow quite as much.
It's not going to,
yeah.
Because you're taking way too much a year out.
Yeah.
So but it will last forever if you take a reasonable amount. Your profit's there. We've still got that bonus that we thought was going away, which hasn't. And it's 16%, which is marvelous. And you get that first year in addition to your profit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's over and above whatever the annuity actually makes. You get 16% on top of it. Boom.
That's there. Right. And that just adds to your interest a lot. And if you do income in it every year for 3 years, you're going to get a bonus.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it depends if it's a lump sum or if you had money coming different years from different places.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about compound interest. We're talking about, I mean, it's the annuity is such a, what's the right word? I always struggle with this part. It's like, I don't want to call it boring. I don't want to call it bland.
It's just really, really conservative.
Well, there you go. That's
and
a much
for
better
conservative
way.
People, you know, that don't want any worries, don't want any problems, just want that interest put in their account every year.
Yeah.
And some of them have more than one income that they're bringing us. Like a wife, she'll say, I don't want to take anything out of my annuity. He said, well, let's take it out of mine. So you've got that extra interest-bearing account that you're not using that really makes a lot of money.
Yeah. And it's still yet another conservative investment where you don't have to do anything. So I mean, you go about, you live your life, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can take some money today. You know, they don't have to do anything. There's no engagement. There's no constantly being up in the middle of the night to see. There's no, you know, okay, let's do this. Let's move that today. You're not playing. It's not like a game of chess where you're constantly making.
That's right. It's not like you've got to check all your investments to see what in the heck they've done.
Yeah.
And then if you don't understand them, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with an annuity, sit back, relax, take your check every year. Or and now if it's an RMD, you have to. But let's say it's not an RMD. You don't even have to take money out.
Yeah. You don't have to. And if you don't, it just stays there and it grows faster.
That's exactly right. It's compound interest. It's all tax deferred until you start taking it out.
Yeah. And you've got that stopgap, so you don't have to worry about losing your principal, which is something you always
remember,
talk about.
You're never directly in the stock market.
Yeah.
You're inside an annuity, and that's what protects it.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's just, you know, anybody that's looking for a conservative type of investment, whether it's annuities or life settlements, either one, it's just, I don't know. It just almost seems like it's a no brainer for making money and having to do very little to do it. So, you know, and not to mention the anxiety and the worry part of it. You know, you take that
that's
out
right.
And it makes it even better. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Alan Bean, the astronaut. Do you remember him?
Oh, the astronaut. Yes, now I do. At first, I couldn't place the name, but now I do. I got you.
Okay, where do you think he was born?
I'm going to say Houston.
Wheeler, Texas, up in the Panhandle. There's 400 and some families that live there.
Oh, wow.
That's where he was born.
Tiny town.
Yeah, they had 415 families back when he was born there. Wow. Now, he moved. He went to Linden, Louisiana, and went to school there for a while. But he moved to Fort Worth. He claims Fort Worth is his hometown. And he graduated from Fort Worth High School. He went to the University of Texas. And he's a very, very smart astronaut. But he didn't start out as an astronaut. He received his degree in 1970 and the Distinguished Engineering Graduate Award. He was the first Texan to walk on the moon, by the way.
Really?
Yes. And he was awarded the Texas Press Association Texas of the Year in 69. 1973, the Robert J. Collier Trophy was awarded to him and to the Skylab crew. He was awarded an honorary degree of science from Texas Wesleyan in 79, an honorary degree from the Engineering Science School from the University of Ohio. And the city of Chicago held a private parade. My voice is getting a little bad. And he was part of the Skylab astronaut in 1974.
Wow.
So he's got every kind of award in the world. And he wrote three books, My Life as an Astronaut, Apollo, an Eyewitness Account. And then he wrote Into the Sunset. But a lot of people don't know he was a gifted artist.
Really?
And when very gifted. And he said what he loved about the pictures he made was he could make the moon any color he wanted. He could make the sky any color he wanted. He said it was really kind of drab. So he made all these pictures. And one of the best stories about him, I think, they went up there and he said, I've got this special camera and I want to fool the scientists back in NASA. And he said, we're going to take these pictures and where they can't tell what they really came from and fool them. And they got ready to take the picture. We'll go outside and they can't find the camera. Oh. The camera was missing. They were so mad after it was all over with and they didn't get a picture. They took the camera and threw it against the moon.
Threw it against the moon.
That's how mad they were. They were pretty mad.
Wow. And not many people can say they did that.
That's right. And he was the lunar pilot on Apollo 12.
Really?
The second moon landing. He was in charge. And that was him and Pete Conrad that wanted to take this crazy camera and do this picture, and it just didn't work out. They flew 250,000 miles
and blew the picture.
Yeah, and he said that there was a lightning strike and they had to get in there and fix this. And the instructions restore the telescope deal, the lightning was 36 seconds after launch, and they salvaged the mission. They explained the lunar surface, deployed several lunar surface experiments, installed the first nuclear-powered generator on the moon. I didn't know that.
Really? I didn't know. Is it still there? I had no idea.
Yes. I don't know if it's run out or not. And
Wow.
Dick Gordon remained in orbit and photographed the landing sites for future astronauts.
I didn't know the nuclear thing was up there. I didn't. I thought we had a flag and maybe a, I don't know, something on.
That's what I thought.
Four wheels, an ATV or something. But wow, huh? I wonder what else is up there.
I don't know. But Bean was commissioned the U.S. Navy ensign at the University of Texas. He attended flight training, and after completion, they sent him to Florida to fly these different attack squadron deals. So he did that. And then, of course, he resigned. And that's when he went to the Apollo astronaut training. And he was the future Apollo 12 commander at that time.
Wow, that's cool. That is really cool.
And he took classes at St. Mary's College in Maryland during this too. And he flew over 7,000 miles.
Wow.
So he had a tremendous career.
Man.
And he was part of Astronaut Group 3 in 1963. And then he wasn't selected for the next one. So the next one, he was up. He was the first astronaut to dive into the simulator. And he was a champion for astronaut training.
Wow. A lot of us, when we're kids, we dream of being an astronaut, you know, and a policeman and a fireman. But, you know, we want to be an astronaut. But, boy, those guys have to not only be physically fit, but you have to be pretty close to a genius, I think, from what I've heard.
Yeah, because he had a tremendous background. I mean, he went to every school there was to become an astronaut.
Yeah.
And then when he retired to Houston. And he went back to painting and painted all these pictures that's in the Smithsonian.
Oh, really? They're in the Smithsonian?
They're in the Smithsonian.
Oh.
They're that good.
Wow.
And he talked about the different pictures and the colors he made them, you know?
Wow.
Oh, and he drew a picture of that camera falling through space. The one that didn't work. They couldn't find it. Can you imagine? These guys are brilliant. And they couldn't find the dadgum camera.
And they threw it against the moon.
Yeah, they just threw it. They were so mad. Because they had it planned. They were going to fool all these scientists, these big, important scientists. And it just didn't work out. They lost it.
Yeah, maybe other people do, but when I think of astronauts and like space travel and all that, I don't think of like practical jokes going along with it.
Apparently, they did have a sense of humor.
That's hilarious.
And when they were on Apollo 12, the one guy that was his superior, he had went to school with him, and he was over him. And then, of course, he became a captain on the NASA deals.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment. I think a lot of people that work at NASA, whether they're, you know, on the ground or they're the actual astronauts that go into space, I think so many of them are so maybe underappreciated just because of the level of education. And I mean, they're probably so smart they can't even tie their shoes.
That's probably true, because it talked about all the awards he's got. And I didn't even name them all. There's so many.
Yeah.
And then each school he went to. And, you know, first you have to become a pilot. And then all together in the air, 7,000 hours.
Wow.
That's tremendous.
That is tremendous. I mean, that's a lot. I just can't believe that, you know, people. I want to say that I would go up to space and it would be neat and fun, but I don't know that it takes a special kind of character to be able to actually get in a rocket.
Leave the ground.
Yeah. And then go outside when you're in space. You know, I don't know that I get sick on roller coasters. I couldn't imagine.
And he went up more than once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is tremendous.
It is. It's to go once it literally is a once in a lifetime opportunity for most people, but to go twice, that's pretty cool to be selected like that out of all the people that I would imagine I'm sure they're not tryouts, but maybe apply or are in the selection pool or whatever you call it. To go twice is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And all the studying and being out there in the air, you know, just out in space.
Yeah.
You have to be pretty dadgum brave.
You do.
I mean, you keep thinking, what if we get loose out here and can't get back in?
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
Be brave or slightly insane. I'm not sure which.
And look how many thousand hours that he flew before he ever went to NASA.
Yeah.
Thousands of hours.
You know, even that Artemis thing that went up, a month or two ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying that when they came back in to the into the atmosphere, that if they didn't come in at exactly the right angle, that the capsule would burn up. And I mean, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like if it's like a millimeter off or an inch or two. I don't know. But it was very small amount. And they said if it's just a very small amount off, it would not be good for anybody. And I just can't imagine what do your nerves go through when you're, you know, going through all these dangerous things that the slightest miscalculation could end up in tragedy. It takes a special.
And remember, just being on a rocket and know the danger of that would be pretty scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially after the Challenger incident. Now, I know he went up years before that, but.
That's right.
Boy, oh boy. Those guys are smart. They're brave. And when they say that astronauts are American heroes, they really are. I mean.
Yeah, they took all the chances for all of us.
Yeah.
To teach us all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one that went down over Texas. You know, that was a shocking deal.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that. It's just, I mean, so much can go wrong so easily. And it's almost, didn't they have like a space shuttle that went up, obviously, a long time ago, but one of the heat shields needed to be replaced or fixed or something, or it was cracked or something. The fact that we've been able to do what we've done and to make the advancements that we've been able to do since the initial rockets went up to like the space shuttle, it's fascinating what our space program has been able to do.
Yeah, we're the first.
Yeah. I saw a video the other day, it just happens to be coincidence, that there was a video, I think it was on Instagram, where it showed the view from the International Space Station where the space shuttle, before it comes back into Earth's atmosphere, it flips over so that they can inspect the heat shields on the bottom to make sure that nothing is cracked or broken or missing. And it flipped head over heels. It wasn't like, you know, it just did a side-by-side roll. It flips head over heels and then goes right underneath this space station. And I guess they look at it or do whatever they do. And then it flips back around before it comes. Who thinks of things like that? I mean, just the small things involved with our NASA program just are mind-blowing to me.
Do you remember the 2019 novel, America Was Hard to Find? And this writer, Kathleen Abbott, based her description on the Apollo landing on an interview she conducted with Bean.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the book was all about.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
And then the HBO Ministries in 1998, From the Earth to the Moon. And that was, Bean was portrayed then by Dave Foley.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And then they had a song out, The Return of Alan Bean, on her 1991 album, Memories of a Color. He was on a lot of different things.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can't necessarily name an actual astronaut, but I mean, he's to be that recognized in actual mainstream pop culture is fantastic. I love it. I mean, those guys are brave, and everybody at NASA is really, I don't know, they're pioneers, and they're a special breed, that's for sure.
They really are. And old people, probably wouldn't even remember it. They wouldn't believe we did it.
Oh yeah, I know it. I mean, sometimes I can't believe we did it.
You think it was a hoax, also? Huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to wonder. I mean, I remember back being in like school, and they would have like a rocket launch, and they would wheel the TV out on the cart and plug it in, and they'd have the rabbit ears, and you know they tune in, and we'd all sit and watch the spacecraft launch, and then sometimes we'd watch the rocket come back down. I mean, it was a big deal. We broke in, you know, in class to watch those things. So
I'd forgot about the rabbit ears and all that. I remember now. And people would get up and go over to the television and move the rabbit ears. Yeah. I remember that now. I wouldn't even remember that. That's before we even got the big towers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we had three stations, and most of us, when we were kids, we were the remote control. Get up and change the channel.
That's right. And do you know what was on Saturday night? Big Time Wrestling.
Oh,
I remember that so well.
Yeah.
And everybody would gather at one house to watch Big Time Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was an event. You didn't miss that for nothing.
That's right. Woo. And that was so new to people. That was the only thing you had to watch on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That or the Louisiana Hayride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Louisiana Hayride. Never will forget that.
Yep. Louisiana Hayride. And then eventually we had, what was it? Hee Haw.
Hee Haw and then the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us back. Wow.
Boy, we just dated ourselves.
That's right. Now everybody knows how old we are.
I know it. Wow. We'll pretend that didn't happen.
Let's pretend like we didn't mention that at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm just sitting here thinking how we had to get up and change the channel ourselves and do the rabbit ears and all
that's
that.
That's right.
Then
there wasn't a remote.
No. When we got a remote, ooh, this is fancy. And now I changed the channels on the TV from an app on my phone. I don't even need the remote anymore.
I mean, it's modern, all right.
Yeah. Boy, we've
really
gotten lazy.
Modern. We have gotten very lazy. And now people, for their blood pressure, all this, I see these little watches says you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to prick your finger.
Oh, yeah.
Just use the watch.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works, but that's pretty modern.
I know it. It's awfully fancy. A little scary, but it's fancy.
That's right.
Before we wrap up, I know with a life settlement, there are two risks that people need to know. Which one's the first one?
The first one is if the premium kicks in. In other words, if you've got rid of the policy, it's ended and it hasn't come due, there might be a premium. Yeah. So you need to know how much that is. It's usually very small, but we always tell you that up front what it would be. And then the second thing, it's not liquid till it matures. Okay. You get paid in a lump sum. You don't get piecemealed out. And the third thing is you must be accredited. Mm. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay. And we don't really have to have accreditation or risk conversations with annuities because they basically they're non-existent for the most part.
That's right. Everything is listed on your policy. It's listed on the brochure. We put it to you every way we can in case you forget anything. We want to remind you, this is what Faye said it would cover, and it does.
Okay. And then just a quick recap, the policy that you're filling now, 43% profit, which is huge.
The Dietrich's policy, we want everybody to get in it that wants to. I don't want to leave anybody out. It's only 1.7 months, so it's fast. 43%, if you made that lately, All right, but I doubt it.
Yeah, it's like those kinds of policies don't come around very often, and it's not very often that we actually say 43% profits. So that's why
that's
we
right.
make a big deal out of it. It is a big deal. So, okay, so people, if they haven't checked their email, check their email because it's there. Any new investor, they do have time and they can get in on this, but they do need to call you. Now, Monday being Memorial Day, I assume you're closed, right?
That's right.
Okay. And most people aren't probably thinking about anything except playing and having fun and doing whatever on Monday. So when people go back to work or back to their lives on Tuesday, then they can call you. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.